Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for your interest in Lenzing's quarterly report. Here today with me are Mr. Untersberger, Mr. Wenninger, and Mr. Winkler. We will open with Mr. Untersberger. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to today's conference call regarding Q1 2013 results. I'm joined, as usually, by Thomas, as our CFO, and Fritz, our COO. We will guide you through the presentation you have in front of you, and you can follow up with questions after the presentation. I may start with slide three, the key highlights for the first quarter. Let us get started with the quarterly highlights. With 64.5 million euro, Lenzing's EBITDA was somewhat better than guided, with a guidance of approximately 60 million. The EBITDA margin reached 13% at the higher end of the guidance between 12% and 13%. This is also due to the first effects, positive effects from our cost savings program, which we call Excellence. Our sales volume, and I think this is very important, increased year-on-year by 13.4% to 216,000 tons, which is an increase of more than 25,000 tons. This is one regret at good volume, but at low prices. Sales and turnover reached 496.5 million euro. Please keep in mind that, similar to that, what we told you in the fourth quarter, the third quarter, primarily last year, another 25 million euro actually should be added to the sales figure, which is due to the switch from external pulp sales from the Paskov plant to internal pulp sales, viscose pulp sales, within the group in our Czech pulp plant. I think that's very important because the basic effect resulted primarily in the first quarter and is flattening out then for the rest of the year. As expected, the price situation, unfortunately, has not improved. Lenzing's average fiber price was 1.77 euro per kilo. Of course, within the guided range of 175-180 euro per kilo, but at the end of the day, it means a further reduction of 3.3% in comparison to Q4, even on a slight increase of 2% on the modal price, which was also already said in the fourth quarter. While we saw a decline in cotton price, in 2012, cotton prices went up by 14% from end of December 2012 to end of March 2013, despite a further increase in the already high cotton stock-to-use ratio. You remember we have been at 70, 71, and now we're at 73. The cotton future price even increased by 17%, while the Chinese viscose staple fiber price stayed flat when compared to the quarter-end levels. Some of you remember when we met five weeks ago, when we told you that we had seen some nice price increases, but these price increases, which we can explain in detail, all came down in the second half of March. There are two other highlights to be mentioned. In the meantime, our vertical pulp integration, due to the switch from external sales to internal sales in Paskov, has successfully increased to 52%, reflecting the full ramp up and a very successful ramp up in our Czech pulp mill until end of March 2013. Thomas then will work out on that in detail our announced sale of our non-core plastics unit is also to be mentioned. I'm continuing on page four. Now, talk a little bit about the market environment, which combines the macro and micro perspective, primarily in China, which normally accounts for 50% of the demand as well as the consumption. China, the world's biggest consumer of fiber, is still not very helpful in supporting the fiber market. In Q4, Q1 2013, China's GDP growth was still 7.7%, but actually we expected a little bit higher compared to Q4 2012 of 7.9, because the guys and the experts in China are talking about reaching 8% for the rest of the year. But this 7.7 may be mainly caused by the Chinese New Year effects in February, and textile exports continue to be quite sluggish, also driven, of course, by the sluggish demand situation in Europe. China's policy also caused further distortions in the fiber market, as we currently have kind of two cotton realities. One could even say two cotton world. There's the rest of the world, US, Pakistan, India, Brazil, and then there's China, and the Chinese government is continuing to pay 25 to 30 cents per pound more to the Chinese farmers than the rest of the world, and that has still significant price distortions, and we can talk about that later. Despite this high cotton reserve, and China stands for more than 10 million of the total 17 million cotton stock, of more than 70% in the world cotton price increased in Q1 2013, which in our opinion was not based on fundamental effects, but as I said already before, on China's stock policy, which may change or not change anytime soon. This continues to put a big question mark on the further supply demand side, at least for the next couple of quarters. Lansing's viscose staple fiber price, and you can follow that nicely, has against cotton, of course, was reduced premium. Cotton price premium was reduced to 5.3. You know, normally we say with a good cotton quality it should be 10%, with a not so good cotton quality it should be 15%. So this premium has reduced to 5.3% in first quarter 2013, and the Chinese viscose staple spot market price has fallen below the cotton price since mid-March, as I mentioned before, after the Chinese started some cash covering transactions. Now let's move to slide 5 and talk a little bit about the competitive environment. Slide 5 gives you the reason for the poor viscose staple fiber spot market development. The increase in the Chinese viscose production, and I think this is very, very important to note, that we see a further increase in production and a further increase in utilization, was mainly driven, firstly, by a cheaper dissolving pulp and therefore a switchover effect from the fourth quarter 2012 to the first quarter 2013 of cheaper dissolving pulp prices, and therefore Chinese producers could produce a little bit more viscose. Secondly, by the increasing viscose staple fiber spot market prices till mid of March, as we see a quite significant increase in viscose fibers as well as cotton consumption and demand in China. And thirdly, Chinese competitors had a strong focus, I mentioned that already, on cash generation due to the need of servicing debt and end-of-year bonuses. And you know, long-term financing in China normally is 11.9 months, and not 10 years. As a consequence of the current difficult market situation, several fiber expansion projects are delayed, that's, or even cancelled. That's a very positive sign. We cannot give you an exact number, but we see it, and you can follow on without saying a name. You can follow some of that cancellations or delays by listed Chinese competitors, bigger ones and smaller ones. And now I may hand over to Fritz, who explains you in detail the price development.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are now on slide number 6, And here you see that the volumes are okay. We are still at record levels of more than 200,000 tons, despite on Q1 we were 5,000 tons below Q4. So, but 216,000 tons is a very good level. We actually produced and what we and then we sold it. Yeah, we had an utilization rate of 95%, and the stock level by end of March was low by 17 days of production. But on the price side, you see that we had a further decrease by 3%, and this was, of course, mainly driven, what Peter mentioned before, by some overcapacity in viscose and, of course, some cash generation needs by certain companies in China. But now let's move to more detail into the textile business and into the nonwovens business, and please go to page number 7, to the textile fibers business. Left up, we are on the viscose fiber side, and you see volumes in textiles absolutely okay. But on the price side, we lost another 5 cents. You might say, why can this happen if the Chinese prices in China stayed more or less flat Q4 compared to Q1? The reasoning was that we had certain problems as Chinese started being very aggressive in fiber pricing in Indonesia and in Turkey, so we had to make some price reductions on those markets, and this was the main reason for reduced fiber prices in viscose. Right up, Denzel, as we expected, there had to be made some other price adjustments with around 8%. This was clear to us that we had to work with, let's say, smaller premiums compared to viscose in order to be safe on the volumes and generate volumes. But we had also another incident on our biggest lyocell plant, which is in Heiligenkreuz in Austria. There we had a fire by mid of March, and it took us some volumes there. Very good news you see on Modal, left down. So volumes absolutely okay, and you see even we had a slight price increase on Modal. So prices seem now to level out at this levels for the next quarter also. Now let's walk to nonwovens fibers, page number 8. Nonwovens, we call it already now the stabilizing factor in our business. You see viscose fiber business very stable in terms of prices, and so little movements up or down. And we had a record volume with 52,000 tons in sales in viscose nonwovens business. On Denzel, there we see the volume is in line. Despite also here we were affected by this fire on the Heiligenkreuz brand. Prices decreased by another 5 cents, but are stable now. What we can follow is that, let's say, the textile prices in Denzel is still higher, but the gap to nonwovens is narrowing. So maybe in order to improve the sales prices and the sales mix in Denzel in nonwovens, I would like to mention one development, which is, for instance, the biosoft fiber. This is the first natural synthetic fiber, which does not uptake any moisture. And we see now a very good development of that fiber, which it will be used in wipes firstly, but a lot of other applications will follow. And we see in the Costco wipes business, the first installation of these fibers in the third quarter of this year. Well, let's move to page number 9 and relative pricing premiums of our specialty fibers. And I think not really too much to be said, but I think it's a very wonderful situation we are enjoying, because the textiles, the Modal business is enjoying still a 50% premium of the over the viscose fibers, and the tensile is also between 40 to 50%, whereas in nonwovens we are still around 30% premium tensile versus viscose. Good. May I hand over now to Thomas to give you another set of numbers, and thank you.
Thank you, Fritz. Good afternoon or good morning to those who listen in from the U.S. Let me start with a brief update on the first results of our excellence, our cost savings, revenue increase, and CAPEX reduction program provided on slide number 10. Bottom line, we managed approximately 5 million euros of real cost savings in Q1 on top of some what I would call windfall profits like lower caustic soda or liquid sulfur prices compared to Q4. Major contributors have been our early initiatives on maintenance OPEX, some supply contracts, and lowering commissions, just to share the pain a little bit. I'm confident that we are making some further inroads as the year progresses, such as, for example, less travel expenses. Structural measures will follow, but will have only a limited net effect in 2013, as we expect them also to cost something. Turning to slide 11. Some of you might have been surprised and maybe negatively surprised by the increase of our net debt to slightly more than 410 million euros. Let me give you some explanations. 56.5 million euros, to be precise, was our CapEx, which was more than covered by our operating cash flow, and we give you a detail of the cash flow on slide 21. However, more than 35 million of taxes, predominantly due to a significant tax prepayment already flagged in our Q1 guidance, and 25 million of increased working capital explain more than 60 million out of the 67 million euro increase. Now, the working capital increase has to be seen in connection with our 440 million of cash and favorable discounts for early payments, particularly investments here in Lenzing and the Tensor plant. In other words, early payments helped us save cash, as strange as it might sound. While we see an opportunity to bring down our negative carry by reducing our liquidity cushion, there are natural limitations to it, as we are not willing to pay early redemption penalties. This, together with only a 55 basis points, yes, you hear me correctly, 0.55% average interest on our deposits, as we have the guideline, it's more important that our deposits are safe than to get a maximum yield. Well, this negative carry might help you to explain our working capital policy a little bit better. Besides, the challenging market environment in China requires more flexibility regarding payment terms with our customers. This is not a new phenomenon, and so far had no negative impact on our bad debt ratio. It is more a confirmation of what both Peter and Fritz have mentioned, a continued tight money supply situation in China. At the same time, we were able to improve key financial ratios like our equity ratio, which now stands at more than 45%. And the net gearing of 35% is also far from being stretched. Before coming to our Q2 guidance, let me reconfirm our full-year guidance. I want to do this, however, not without sharing with you on slide number 12 strengths and weaknesses, as well as opportunities and threats to this guidance, as the low visibility environment is going to continue. Our confidence going forward rests on two major pillars. One, being the undisputed number one quality leader in the market has put us so far in a position to sell all fibers which we produce without a problem. And our production runs at, as Fritz has mentioned, an industry record-setting 95% utilization rate. The second, with world market shares of 75 and 99% in modal and tensile, we are able to generate more than one-third, it was nearly 35% of our sales in Q1, in the specialty fibers arena, still commanding very solid premiums over viscose. On the downside, Lenzing is extremely price sensitive when it comes to our profitability. 1 cent change in our average price means 9 million euros change in EBITDA. We have to admit to ourselves, as tough as it is, we are not a price setter, but rather a price taker despite being a world market leader. We see opportunities opening up from the need of our customers, be it a spinner, be it a retailer, to differentiate. And the other big opportunity is the reestablishment of our historical 15 to 20% premium over cotton, which has shrunk to only 5% in the first quarter, still better than the viscose staple fiber spot market prices in China. But it left us far behind the cotton price increase in the first quarter. On the other hand, there is an undeniable threat by low-cost dissolving wood pulp coming to the spot market. Why? If substantial volumes of low-cost pulp hit the market, it will be bought up by the Chinese competitors, who will increase utilization of their existing capacities and throw cheap viscose fiber on the market in order to generate cash. In other words, we are confident to make our full-year guidance, but it is far from you being able to take it for granted. I can offer you much more predictability for the second quarter, detailed on slide number 13. Unfortunately, there is no market improvement inside. Still, we are confident that we are able to sell more than 5,000 tons on top of our Q1 volume. And this is even more outstanding in the light of a fire at our Heiligenkreuz Austria site, which Fritz has already mentioned, and which has an impact on our full-year fiber sales forecast, even though it is, with 5,000 tons, a small one, compared with the 915,000 tons, which we now guide for this year, and it used to be 920,000. Based on an average fiber price at around the Q1 level, the improved sales volume, and a continued success of our excellence program makes us confident that we are able to generate an EBITDA of 65 to 70 million euros in Q2. What else? Please bear in mind that we have to pay out dividends in a total amount of slightly more than 53 million euros. At the same time, there is a good chance that the sale of our plastics business unit is going through in the second quarter. It's not 100% certain, but we are pretty confident on it. And that these proceeds are more than offsetting the cash outflow from our dividend payment. However, it is not advisable for a CFO to talk about unlaid eggs. Please accept for this reason that I will not answer any questions on the potential impact of the plastic sale until we have received antitrust clearance and the purchase price has been transferred from escrow to our account. Thank you very much for your attention, and may I now open the line.
Good afternoon, Stephanie Chance. One question from my side. In terms of Tencel, I'm just seeing the absolute price has now undergone the modal pricing. So I think, is that the right level for you? Also, is that the last price decrease potentially that we are seeing? And coming back to the premiums, shouldn't it be a little bit more than modal based on the characteristics it offers?
The Tencel, of course, we are, as you know, we are expanding quite drastically next year, and we are already going into much broader applications now. We have to prepare for that also. For instance, price-sensible applications also, being it denim, being it bed linen in a broader scale. And so we are preparing already for that, and we have to, of course, acknowledge a different pricing for that. Yeah, and what we also have is that in Tencel non-wovens, for instance, we want to go bigger in this wipes business again, And of course, wipes business is also quite sensible in this. So this was our expectation that the dental premiums being at a lower level than the Modal premiums, because in Modal we are more and more specializing into micromodal, into other fields with the volumes we do have right now.
So it will stay like that, Modal commanding a higher premium than Tensil?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe let me add to it and refer you to slide number 9. Historically, that was always the case. So if you look at slide number 9, you see that in the year 2010, on the very left-hand side, Tensil commanded an 18% premium over viscose in 2010, whereas Modal was 44, and in 2011 it was 36 versus 54 in 2011. So I would say we are back to more normal levels now.
Good afternoon, Stephanie. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have one question regarding the divergence in viscose and cotton prices. You mentioned the premium of viscose over cotton in Q1. I just looked at the numbers from today, and if we take the Cotlook A as a reference price, we see a 12% discount in viscose to cotton. If we now take this thought further, and you show in the slide back on page 40 that you have in terms of capacity an 18% market share and in terms of production a 22% share based on a production volume of 3.5 million tons. And there you refer to that the Chinese peers operate at a utilization rate of 68%. Now with the low dissolved wood pulp prices, which are, I believe, below 700 euros, and the Asian viscose price above 1400 euros, they could incur conversion costs of something even above 700 euros. So what do you believe, or what are your views regarding pricing going forward? Where do you see the utilization rate at your Chinese competitors? And do you believe that this reestablishment of the premium of viscose over cotton will incur due to a rise in viscose prices, or rather a drop in cotton prices? Thank you.
This is Peter speaking. May I correct some prices? Spot pulp price right now is 947. Mm-hmm. So actually, it has increased in line with other pulp prices and coming from a quite good paper environment. You're right. On a 2 days basis, let's say 8th of May. There's a discount viscose against cotton, as I mentioned, that since mid of March, more or less the full price increase on viscose fibers, particularly in China, have been wiped out due to the reasons I mentioned. After Chinese New Year, issues, cash issues. Please be aware that this switchover effect from lower pulp prices, but this is already 4 months back from the fourth quarter, 5 months back from the fourth quarter into the first quarter is gone. There is no, unless somebody bought 6 months stock ahead, this issue is gone. So, and also please keep in mind that when we met last time, we told you that actually due to the distortions in China and the Chinese government cotton policy, to continue paying 25 to 30 cents higher prices have this distortive effect. We expect that we see some price increases for the end of the month, beginning June, due to the fact that we see a higher utilization rate in China, and please be also aware that Lansing's operations all over running on full capacity utilization, so there is a good demand or a very good demand for our fibers, as Fritz also mentioned, not only for viscose, particularly also for Modal. We have even problems to supply already some Modal volume to China, and even our 800 Tencel is sold out. So that doesn't mean that we are over-optimistic for significant price increases, but we are confident that we see price increases.
Okay, and do you have a feeling for the utilization rate Chinese peers are currently running at, or should we assume it's still slightly below 70%?
I think we are between let's say 70 and 80, maybe on the higher end. And of course, if you ask the Chinese, they always tell you that they are running at 105%. But you know that 5% of the capacity is definitely not technologically not able to run, and 5% they are anyway lower than our capacity. So if they are close to let's say 75, between 75 and 80, that sounds to be the right ratio.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. Maybe coming back to the slide showing details on the excellence program, I think it was mentioned that for the second quarter, or basically for the second half of 2013, there might be some structural measures to follow. Could you just maybe give us a bit of, shed more light on maybe what to potentially expect in that respect? Thank you.
Yes. What is meant is change of processes, things more efficient, standing with a watch next to the production and see where we can, by optimizing the process from putting the pulp into the vessel to wrapping the bale, where we could make such changes. So we are thinking more of these typical issues where you say, A, you probably need to invest something because we don't have idle capacities for people to stand next to this production line and take the time. And B, it will take a while to figure out, what has to be changed in terms of, shifts, pauses, what have you. That kind of stuff is meant.
Okay, understood. But no, like single big steps, important stuff that from single important stuff that should be mentioned. So overall optimization. Okay, I get it.
Well, we do believe that the sustainable cost savings do come from such structural measures. I just don't want to expand on them until we are fully certain, okay, that we can lift something from this. And let's not forget, we are in an industry where the cent on the kilogram sold is counting, and is counting dearly.
Hi, good afternoon. I was going to first ask about the utilization rates for competitors in China, which you already talked about. But I would like to follow up with a question of why do you think you can't charge? Because there's a slide you say Lenzing is a price taker, but you still have there's a disparity between your utilization rates and the market utilization rates. So if you have a better product, why do you think you can't command a higher price? And the other question would be related to dissolving pulp. Should, given the integration of Paskov is now complete, should we expect lower average dissolving pulp costs? Because I noticed a slight increase sequentially from Q4 to Q1. I wonder why this is. Thank you very much.
Concerning the prices, we get premiums compared to the competition. For instance, if you see the Chinese market price with 13,600, we always have a premium of about 500-600 RMB per ton. So this is our premium. We have 3 to 5% max. But of course, we cannot slip away when the whole industry price goes down, you know.
Okay, so 3 to 5% should be sustainable.
On viscose, yeah. I mean, this we see during good times. This we see also during bad times, so to say, that we enjoy this certain premium because of our quality of fiber and also adjustments to the spinning technology, for instance.
Perfect.
Maybe to the
on the, on your second question. Well, there is a certain advantage which we expect from Paskov. It's not as big as the advantage that we have from Lenzing. Okay, that has something to do with spruce and beechwood prices in the various countries, and us still, you know, being in this ramp up and efficiency gaining phase. However, if you look at slide number 19. And that was also a bit your question, and compare this with the previous quarter slide, you're comparing apples and pears, because the dissolving wood pulp costs that you see in Q1, okay, and those that you can find on this slide from Q1 2012 are not representing the same, because the 134.7 million include now the full cost as they are internal costs of Paskov. Okay, so better be careful, because what we had in the past, you know, outside is now all inside. And it seems as if it's nearly the same dissolving wood pulp costs, which already would be an advantage given the volume increase. Okay, it also includes now as costs fully Paskov.
Okay, so if market prices don't change, we should expect more or less what we had in Q1, basically.
Yes, it is going to be slightly better, because
okay.
In Q1 we still had external revenues from selling paper pulp. So this was the first part of my answer. There is a certain improvement. Okay, it depends, of course, then on and a certain advantage also over competitors from spot market prices, of course. But that is rather minute, because of the fact that there was a nearly 100% dissolving wood pulp production ramp up over the course of the first quarter.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, just a follow-up. If I look at 5 million from the excellence and potentially more positive effects to come, then you mentioned some relief with regards to caustic soda, price increases in viscose, and slightly better cost position. Yeah, and now I'm looking at the 10% EBITDA beat in the quarter. And recall when we said last time, me and some other brokers, that the guidance seems to be a bit kitchen sinking. Can we expect a similar beat in the second quarter or in the full year? Or is the only missing variable, which is the tensile prices, expected to go down further? That's an answer I'm still missing from my first question.
Okay. Well, look. You do the math, you know that you have 5,000 tons more volume, okay, and the real missing link is the average price. And the average price, of course, is influenced to a certain extent by tensile, and tensile, as Fritz has mentioned, is going to further adjust, even though the big adjustments are behind us, okay. On the other hand, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball by which we can predict what viscose prices, which are still the biggest driver of our average price, of course, and what modal prices are doing and to what extent what is offsetting. So it brings back the point that I made, which is we are extremely price sensitive, and being off by 1 cent, okay, is not 9 million, of course, in the quarter, but is 2.2 to 2.3 million, because it goes straight to the EBITDA. So we continue not to kind of, you know, under guide and overshoot. It was more, I think, in the first quarter, the early success of the excellence program and the 5 million of real cost saving, as you've mentioned, that has helped us beat slightly your expectation.
Can you remind us what the free effect could be from the excellence? And also, I mean, you have set the prices already for the second quarter. So what is not known in terms of viscose and modal pricing?
That's always Fritz who says he sets the prices. but Fritz is answering on the quarterly.
The viscose prices in China are set in case of Lansing on a month basis, but the competition sets on a 2 weeks basis. And this is followed in month basis also in Indonesia, and meantime also Turkey. So this big volume, of course, is hard to charge for the whole quarter. And in Dentsel, we made some small price adjustments also for the small price adjustment for the second quarter.
Okay, and the effect from excellence for the full, and maybe also, have you become less concerned about caustic soda?
We are less concerned about, we've never been all too concerned about caustic soda because we told you in Q1 that we see caustic soda go sideward. Caustic soda in the first quarter was slightly below Q4, and that has something to do with the mix effect of where we can procure caustic soda. Okay, so that was a bit of a positive surprise, but just to put it into proportion, we are talking caustic soda and liquid sulfur effects of €1 million. You know, we're not talking millions of euro. When you ask for the full year effect of excellence, any number below 20 million now would be a disappointment, because what we saw in the first quarter, we should be able to sustain over the full year. But again, we are not there yet, and we might have offsetting effects which we might have underestimated. So we stay cautious.
And is that included in the guidance?
That's included in the guidance because if you remember the guidance and when we explained you the full year guidance, it was pretty clear that it makes a big difference if we hit the 180 average price or the 190 average price. For 190 average price, okay, with a successful excellence program, we might even be able to slightly exceed the range, okay? But there is no sign that we get an average price of 190 when we stand at 177. With 180, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out the difference between 2012 and 2013 and work out that we actually need quite some support from the excellence program in order to hit the 260 million. So it is included in the guidance. Of course, I feel a bit more comfortable now that we have proof in Q1 that we were able to save the 5 million.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would have a question related to maybe looking down the road some couple of years. As the market, the competitive environment develops, do you think it is still a viable option for you to be quantity and quality-wise the market leader globally? Or do you feel that as your competition behaves that somewhere down the road you will have to decide and just focus on being in niche the leader and skipping the volume lead? How do you see that at the moment?
Well, we never say that our main target is to be the market leader quantitative, but of course we want to be the market leader and continue to be the market leader technology, innovation and quality. So we also mentioned in the beginning of April that we are going ahead with our program, particularly in Dentsel, but we are not investing in viscose projects where we cannot make, let's say, a minimum of 15% EBITDA, and that is exactly the case now. So I also said we don't want to present you in, as you said, a couple of years down the road, in 2018 that we have added 500,000 tons of viscose but don't make money. And we have spent 1 billion on that. So that's not our target, and that's not our policy. We want to deliver high profitable performance, and that is what we're doing. And if we delay for 6 months or 12 months a viscose project, okay, that is it.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. One more question on the non-woven fibers, where you mentioned the very stable pricing and also the high customer interest for new technical applications like the Tencel Biosoft you mentioned. Could you remind us maybe how would it be possible to switch from textile fiber capacity into non-wovens, how long that would take to switch that? Also, how does the competitive landscape look like here? Is there also competition that is aggressive in pricing? Can everybody engage in non-woven fibers that is active in textile fibers? And do you have any intention of increasing the revenue share of non-woven fibers? Thank you.
Currently, the shares split, it's say 70% to textiles, 30% to non-wovens in terms of volume, which is going to continue. Yeah, I mean, there is from a technical point of view, we can switch. You were mentioning quite strongly Tencel. We can of course switch from textiles into non-wovens. But, I mean, the market per se is much lower than in textiles. I mean, if you compare market size in non-wovens of about 540,000 tons, whereas in textiles it's 3 point, just on viscose fibers and cellulose fibers, and on textiles it's 3.4 million tons. So this is quite a difference, and yes, we found some applications, but on the other side, we have to be also very clear, these applications which taking bigger volumes, which is the wipes business, is also a price sensible application because it's a one-way product, and so it's not that you should just think now because I made this example for biosoft fiber, this hydrophobic cellulose fiber, that is now we switch everything in that kind of application and enjoy there the better margins and everything. It has to be everything in balance, and I think just to give you the message, I mean, still we want to go in more or less in the same ratios, so 70-30 textiles versus non-wovens.
Okay, understood. And just on in terms of pricing, in Q1 we had an viscose price in non-wovens of 1.67. How will that be in Q2, or in other words, when will you renegotiate contracts, and when can we expect that prices adapt to the current viscose price environment? Thank you.
Yeah, for Q2. In Europe and in the US, the prices are set because they are for the whole quarter, except Asia, where we do also the non-woven's business on a monthly basis. Prices will be set for the third quarter, I guess. Prices will be set in June, of course, then for the third quarter in Europe and US. So, of course, this is always kind of a reflection what is happening in textile business at this point of time also. Because one thing is also clear, and you see the prices, yes, they are different. It's 154 versus 167. But at the end of the day, if the textile business continues at, let's say, 154 or 150, we, of course, will see some price adjustments then also on the non-woven's fiber because of that reason.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other points you wish to raise.
Okay, as there are no questions anymore, many thanks for your participation. We will do our level best for meeting the guidance for the second quarter. Thanks for your questions.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye.